Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
It really is one of the most barren wastelands on the face of the earth. But while most have gone, nature never fails to surprise at those who exist in such a desolate landscape. Over there, in the distance, we can see a lone figure foraging for food. On closer inspection, it turns out to be the little-known Spanish Almunia. It is thought only 2 or 3 are left in the entire world. He sniffs the air, sensing for predators. He sees nothing. Yet this is his downfall. There, behind the goalposts, waiting, lurking, is the lesser-spotted Denilson, a carnivorous Brazilian sloth. And while the Almunia nibbles on a daffodil, he comes in for the kill, moving at a remarkable 3 miles per hour. The Almunia's complete inability to sense danger around him allows the predator to get on top, and soon it is over. The Denilson has devoured him. He may not need to feed again for another 3 to 4 weeks, which, coincidentally, is about the time of the next interlull at the Arsenal training ground.
Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arscast, right here on arseblog.olayolay.com. At this point in the introduction, I normally tell you what is to come on this week's Arscast. This small, inchy-weenchy problem is that there hasn't been an awful lot going on, or there isn't much going on in the future, or we don't know a great deal about what's going to go on in the future, and there hasn't been a lot that's gone on in the past. Because we have just gone through, possibly, the longest interlull of all time. The interlull from hell. The helterlull. Inter-Hades. I don't know. It just seems to have gone on and on and on. Nevertheless, Good Player will be along in a few moments' time to talk about football as much as we can, given the fact there's very little news. A little bit of team news ahead of the Birmingham game tomorrow, and then we can look ahead briefly to the game against AZ Alkmaar in midweek. Sylvester will be here, and apart from that, well, what do you want me to do? I can't make something out of nothing. If there's no news or no information or nothing worth talking about, what am I supposed to do? I can't magic things. I'm no miracle worker. And even Jesus had 3 fishes and 2 loaves of bread to start with, didn't he? Everyone's sitting there going, fucking hell, this is boring and I'm starving. And look at that, there's only 3 fishes and 2 loaves of bread. And poof, abracadabra, Jesus came down with happy meals for everybody. But he had those basic things to start with. I got nothing. The interlull has been taken up with a boring load of crap about Cesc and Barcelona again. And it makes me weep tears of boredom and ennui. Not Thierry ennui, just real, you know, please just shut up, Barcelona. For once in your stupid lives, just shut your mouth. Yes, we know Cesc has got Barcelona DNA. Yes, we know he started at your club. Yes, he probably would like to go and play there one day. But not in January. So just shut up. You can do what you like about Robinho. I don't care. And nobody cares about Robinho, let's face it. Not even Man City fans care a great deal about Robinho. I wouldn't have thought. But then we're not here to talk about Man City fans. But apart from that idle speculation about Sesk, what the hell else has happened? Nothing. We beat Blackburn nearly 2 weeks ago now, and since then, nothing has happened. And that, for somebody who is in the Arsenal business, shall we say, is problematic. When you're sitting down on a Thursday to say, well, okay, we'll have an arse cast because we've got a game on Saturday and we've got a game in midweek and, you know, things are starting to roll again. And then you're sitting there going, well, what the fuck am I going to talk about? And then it struck me. I had one of those brain waves. If it was a cartoon, a little light would have gone off above my head. A light bulb thing would have gone bing. And I thought to myself, oh my God, why did I never think of that before? It's so simple. It's just genius in its simplicity. And it provides me with a wealth of subject matter, a non-stop flurry of topics related to Arsenal that I can wax lyrical about on the Arsecast. This is going to be fantastic. I need never ever worry about an interlull or an Arsecast interlull ever again. And then I forgot what it was. So there we are. However, on the upside, we're back into the swing of things, or heading back into the swing of things, right? There is going to be another interlull, sadly, but I believe it's only going to be a 1 week job rather than a 2 week job, isn't it? I hope so. I'll have to check this out, actually. Yeah, just hold for a moment, please. Oh, I just checked. It is another 2 week break. On the 7th of November, we play Wolves. And then our next game is not until the 21st of November when we play Sunderland. I don't know if I can cope with another interlull. Not like this one. Progressively, they get longer and longer and longer. The next one will be so long, it'll be Christmas before it's over. Anyway, we won't depress ourselves with that at this point. We've got plenty of time to depress ourselves about it when the time comes. So in the meantime, let's look ahead to what's coming. Some real football at last. And with me to discuss what's on the way is Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hello there.
Hello.
It seems like an age since the last Arsenal game. This has been a very long international break.
They always are. Each one seems longer than the last one, don't they?
Yeah, it really does. And particularly when you're not necessarily interested in games in midweek are not that important anyway. We get back to the real deal tomorrow against Birmingham. It's a good game to come back, I suppose, because you could be coming back into a more difficult fixture, it should be said. And we are in the middle of a run of what should be fairly winnable fixtures for Arsenal.
Yeah, quite. It's kind of one of those very traditional Saturday, mid-October, 3 p.m. kickoffs against a kind of fairly typical Premiership team, if you like. You know, you look at the table and they're kind of the big four. There are a couple, three clubs below them: Villa, Man City, and Spurs, and maybe Everton. And then you just face these succession of games. With all due respect to them, where really nothing less than a win will do. We've done well at home so far this season. We did very well at home 2 years ago, and interestingly, came up a cropper against Birmingham 1-1 in January. But I think we'll have to. It's all about focus, really. Getting the 3 points, another 3 points on the board. We're nicely in there at fifth place at the moment in the table. Just don't want to drop any silly points.
Of course, we all remember that game. When Eduardo broke his leg, and it's a shame he's not going to be able to play. Team news is he's out. He's still got that thigh strain. Fabianski is back. Manuel Almunia is 50-50 still with what appears to be the most vicious chest infection anybody's ever heard of. Is there a reason now to maybe speculate that it's not just a chest infection that's been keeping him out of the side?
No, I think you've got that the wrong way around. There's a reason to totally dismiss the idea that a chest infection exists. I mean, I think if you look at the video on Arsenal.com, when Wenger says it, that he's 50-50 for his chest infection, a tiny smile creeps across his face. I'm sorry, but when was the last time you heard of one of your friends having a chest infection for a month and being off work for a month, you'd start to get seriously, seriously worried. This is a guy who's 32, supposedly at the height of fitness. And fine, you need to be fairly finely tuned to play Premiership football, slightly less so in goal. But a chest infection lasting over a month is an absolute joke, frankly. I have absolutely no evidence to say that it isn't true, but you know, it's one of those injuries where it feels to me like one of those things where I often thought, what can I make up and get away with? And he's trying that. I think there's no doubt, really. I don't think that if he did have a chest infection, they've taken it, they've let it last as long as they possibly can. I think, you know, we know that we've heard that there were inquiries on deadline day for other goalkeepers. I don't think Manuel Almunia started the season particularly well. It just all seems a bit too convenient for me. I'm not one for great conspiracy theories, but I think on this occasion I'd be staggered if he was out for a month with a chest infection. I also don't understand how he can be 50-50 to be over it by Saturday. How do you work out these things? It's bizarre to me, put it that way. But I suppose he has his way of doing things, Arsene, and he would never willingly say that someone's been dropped.
It's a brave decision, though, when you think about it. He's the most experienced keeper at the club. And had he had Fabianski, for example, fit, who's 24 years of age and has played international football, then you think, well, okay, you know, he's taken a decision and he's maybe protecting him by saying he's got this chest infection. But when the alternative is a guy who's only played two or three first-team games, and two of them were during a terrible loan spell at Burnley, I think, then it makes me, I don't know, it just makes me wonder whether or not there was something to it or not. My head, you know, is telling me, no, Arsene wouldn't risk that, putting a rookie goalkeeper in. But then, you know, the rest of the evidence is telling me that there's more to it than we know.
Well, I think there has to be something more to it. If nothing else, you know, a chest infection is the kind of thing where, you know, if you've got a big important game and you really want your star man to be there, you play him, even though whatever the cost of it. You know, you think about a Fulham away game where admittedly Mannone did well, but before then he hadn't exactly been doing well. And I think, you know, you look at it and it's extraordinary. No, the whole point of a third choice goalkeeper is people say, oh, Mannone's not ready for first team football. Well, of course he's not. He's a third choice goalkeeper. They're not meant to be. The clue's in the title, basically. Third choice goalkeepers don't play first team football. Second choice goalkeepers, yes. But third choice goalkeepers, you know, it's once in a blue moon they're called upon, basically. And so it's extraordinary. It's not, it's difficult to get goalkeepers, I suppose. I sometimes think, you know, what's the harm in having an experienced backup? I think when we had Mark Puma around, it wasn't any bad thing. I'm not saying Mannone hasn't done okay. He's...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arsblog.
Not yet convinced me he's the next Gordon Banks, but you know, we'll see. But it's certainly a strange situation.
And even when we had Poom, I don't think he played. He played once, didn't he? Final game of the season, something like that. The Birmingham game, we'll go back to Eduardo very briefly. Eduardo's out and Martin Taylor is out. But I suppose there'll be a sense amongst Arsenal fans that we'll want revenge. And I wonder, of those players who were there at St. Andrews that day, it is St. Andrews they still play at, isn't it? These teams change stadiums all the time.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's got a sponsor's name.
Right, amazing in this day and age. But what happened that day?
Not the way one talks.
No. We're not criticising, just observing. What happened that day obviously had a big impact on the rest of our season, and you can go back to that day and trace our downfall if you so wish. There are obviously other factors that took place, but I suppose for the guys that were there on that day, they'll want a bit of revenge whether Martin Taylor was playing tomorrow or not.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure I follow it too much in a way. If it is revenge, it's a kind of healthy kind of revenge. I think with hindsight, I think the relationship between Arsenal and Birmingham has actually been quite a good one over the years, partly because Arsene Wenger and Steve Bruce actually get on with each other in one of the weirdest kind of managerial friendships you'll probably ever see, given how Wenger gets on with anything else with related to Manchester United. But I think you look back at the Taylor incident, and you know, it was a time of high emotion for everyone involved. But I think even at the time, none of us were claiming that Taylor or Birmingham were, you know, evil or even the worst of what we'd seen. And you look back, and I do think the tackle was reckless. I do think there was a culture of getting among them. But I don't think Birmingham that day set out to injure Arsenal players, and I think had it not been for that tackle, it probably would have been a very normal game. So I'm actually less convinced. I don't even if he was playing, I'm not sure that he'd get that terrible a reception. He'd get a few boos, but you know, it was just a time of such high emotion that I can't remember anything almost so traumatic as that day. And so I think hopefully people have moved on, and you know,
we know Eduardo has anyway, even though he's still suffering the consequences, though you might say, this kind of persistent niggly injury that's keeping him out for a couple of weeks at a time here and there. Anyway, we'll move on from that and hope they can.
I'll just say on the Eduardo thing that I woke up. We're recording this Thursday night. I woke up on this morning, and I played a little game in my head of which two forwards will not be available after international duty, because. You know as well, just this Almunia thing's a bit weird, that there's a funny kind of business that goes on where you never ever have all the forwards fully fit at once, and so conveniently he doesn't have to leave anyone out of the squad or put seven forwards on the bench. So, you know, no doubt, it didn't surprise me that Eduardo isn't quite ready, and I suspect that Vela might be tired as well. And, you know, they'll probably be ready before long. Maybe Eduardo, I'm sure he probably has got some kind of injury, but these things kind of work themselves out in Wenger's way.
Midweek then, we've got AZ Alkmaar away. Again, it's a nice way to ease ourselves back into Champions League action. And a good win there would put us on 9 points after three games, and essentially needing only 1 point then from the other three games to qualify. I mean, it's. I'm not going to say it's an easy group, but it could be a lot worse. There's no great deal of travel. Got a short trip across to Holland. So, again, an ideal game to get back into European action.
Yeah, although I suspect Alkmaar will have, I don't know a lot about them, to be honest, but I suspect, like Olympiacos, they'll have quite a lot of fans, and like Liège as well, it'll be probably a tight stadium. They're probably quite excited to be in the Champions League. You know, you can be sure that when we go to Greece, it'll be a feisty reception if the Olympiacos fans at the Emirates were anything to go by. So you've got the flip side on that, but it isn't, in a way, it looks like an easy group, but something which isn't really acknowledged is that, well, we're now quite experienced in Europe. And we kind of know what we're doing. And we've been getting to quarterfinals, semifinals, even the final, relatively frequently over the last four years. And so actually, if you look at our first year in Europe, in the Champions League under Wenger, I don't think we had the hardest of groups. Then it was something like, what was it? It was something like Solna and Panathinaikos, I can't remember, but nothing that, and Kiev maybe, and Panathinaikos. And we managed to screw that one up entirely. So we have actually lived and learned and matured as a European entity, which no one ever seems to acknowledge, really.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Good Player from goodplayer.com.
Great, thanks a lot.
And don't forget to check out his blog, www.goodplayer.com. Now, before we get on with all the rest of the really interesting stuff that's coming on this Arscast, such as... And the other stuff that, before we do all that, this guy.
Hello everyone, it's me again, Sylvester! Oh, the last 2 weeks have been so boring, no, with the internationals, as I do not play for France anymore, I'm all alone, so Arsenal just send me to Dubai, in the Middle East, to teach the children there how to play football the Arsenal way. Of course, I did this with great success, so to celebrate, I took them out to show them how to funk the Sylvester way. Somehow, I don't think they're going to invite me back. Oh, baby!
More from Sylvester on another Arscast. Now, the more extended team news ahead of tomorrow's game against Birmingham, and this is about all we've got left to talk about, I should remind you, is that, as you know, Almunia is probably out. 50-50 is like Arsene's way of saying, nah, not yet. Eduardo, we know, is out. Fabianski is back, and you have to think that if he's back, he's going to play. Gael Clichy has got an ankle injury picked up while on international duty with France. He probably stood a little bit too close to Abu Diaby. He's good at injuring people, it has to be said. Abu Diaby himself has got a bit of an injury as well. He probably looked at himself in the mirror and gave himself a sore ankle. We know that Eduardo is injured and he's not going to make the game. And Martin Taylor is not going to be injured. So there was never going to be that headline opportunity for the newspapers. It'll have to be a return fixture at St. Andrews if Eduardo plays and Martin Taylor plays. How interesting. I know what Good Player was saying about getting over it and these things. You know, I can understand that. Because you can't dwell and live your life consumed by bitterness and hatred. Because then you become... Tottenham fan. But nevertheless, I would like a measure of revenge against Birmingham. Not because I blame that game for us not winning the title that year. It just, you know, there was a whole load of other stuff that went on. And it exposed a couple of weaknesses in our team. And then we had people forget that Sanya was out injured and Flamini was out injured for the rest of the season as well. So those things didn't help. But I'd still like to, you know, stick 4 or 5 past him for all the people that came out. Went, well, he's not that kind of a player, is he? You know, he's a good lad. He's a lovely fella, you know. If he saw a kitten on the side of the road, he'd kill it in a compassionate way. For that, really, I would like us to do Birmingham considerably tomorrow. Not just for the fact that I want Arsenal to do every team, but, you know, I hold these small grudges. I think we've been over this on the blog in the last couple of weeks anyway. But really, that's about it. I don't have anything else to talk about. There is no news, no scandal, no transfer rumour. Well, there are transfer rumours, but it's October. And I don't care for transfer rumours in October. In January, let's talk transfers. Absolutely not a problem. But in October, when nothing can happen until January, forget about it. I'm not getting involved in any of that kind of stuff. So really, let's hope that everything goes okay against Birmingham. Let's hope we get a good win away in Holland in midweek. And then we sort of set ourselves up nicely for a run of interesting fixtures. West Ham, That's an interesting game. Then the Carling Cup game against Liverpool, and then the North London Derby at home to finish off the month. So let's start building the momentum, because we got into the international break with a good deal of momentum. We had our shooting boots on. We were playing well. So let's pick that up tomorrow against Birmingham. And on next week's Arsecast, there'll be a whole pile of stuff to talk about. And hopefully that pile of stuff will be Arsenal goals. So until then, take it very easy. Talk to you all week on the blog and on next week's Arsecast. Until then, cheers. Bye-bye.
To be honest, I don't understand how people don't like international football. If you were to show me someone that didn't like you, I'd stand there and I'd say, you're a muppet, that's what you are. If you don't like international football, then there's something wrong with you. It's the most exciting kind of football that there is. It's true, everyone knows it. I went down the Submarine Bar there the other night and watched Ireland versus Italy. Italy, of course, are the world champions, and Ireland scored first with that fella. I don't remember his name. He's the guy that isn't Andy Reid in the Ireland midfield. Doesn't really matter what his name was, though. I was jumping up and down with all my mates, so I was in the pub. And then Italy scored, and you're thinking, ah, oh, Jesus Christ, why didn't we just mark that fella? He looks like a bleeding red Indian. What's his name? Cameron Armour, whatever his fucking name is. Well, anyway, the crackdown on the pub was massive, so was. We were all having a deadly time. And then Ireland scored another goal, and I swear to God, it was like the roof came off the place, except, of course, the roof didn't come off the place, because if the roof came off the place, health and safety would be down there, and they'd close it down, and I like it as a boozer, even when there isn't football on, you know what I mean? But then you think, and Ireland are going to win, this is deadly, and Italy are going to lose against Cyprus, and Ireland won't have to go through the playoff or nothing. Italy go and score again, and to be honest, I blame John O'Shea. He was caught too far upfield, and well, you know, one of the Ireland lads should have hacked your man down in midfield, you know, take the yellow card, that's what they say. But of course, the little ball trickling across the line is 2-2, and you're thinking, Italy are the world champions, and Ireland were what, 90 seconds away from beating Italy, and that means that Ireland are just as good as the world champions. And if you can't find the excitement in that, then I feel sorry for you. You fucking muppet.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.